Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and I imagine I'm talking to a whole bunch of people that are stuffed today. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, a beautiful Thanksgiving. Great time of year just to take that time to give God thanks for everything that has happened in your life and the opportunities that He's given you, the provisions that He's made available to you. And perhaps you're out today doing a little shopping, riding around, and maybe you have the day off. And we appreciate you joining us today to talk about Thanksgiving, talk about some of the issues that we're facing in life. We've got a good show for you today. I'm going to talk about something that I think everybody really wants to know at one level or another, and that is how to hear the voice of the Lord in your life, how to know that God is guiding you and directing you. And we're also going to be talking with Karen Sullivan today. She's the author of Bitter or Better, Grappling with Life on the Op-Ed Page. She's an award-winning author, writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, contributing writer. We're going to talk to her a little bit later on in the show, but that's a good question for you to think about today. You know, when life throws you those curves, which we've all had those, do you respond by being bitter, or is it an opportunity to be better? You know that Pope John Paul II talks an awful lot about this in his document, Salvifici Dolores. And in that document, he mentions that in suffering more than any other situation in life, you've got the opportunity to be drawn towards the Lord and to make sense out of that suffering in your life. And I know that that's something that I've been dealing with a number of times in my life, whether it's physical suffering or whether it's what the Church calls moral suffering. That's the suffering of the heart. That's the loss of a husband. That's the loss of a child. It's the loss of your job or just plain discouragement or the anxiety that you experience on a daily basis. God can make sense out of this, but the only way that we can really make sense out of the suffering in our life is if we understand Jesus' suffering. And why did Jesus suffer? Why didn't He just wave a magic wand to bring us all into His family? Why did He employ that physical suffering and that moral suffering of the heart for you? And what is the meaning of your suffering? What's the meaning of your difficult time? So we're going to take a look at that a little bit later on in the show. But the main thing I want to talk to you about today, we're going to get to that, but the main thing I want to talk to you today is about hearing the voice of the Lord. So we're going to take a look at that. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about hearing the voice of the Lord, and then we'll talk with Karen Sullivan, Bitter or Better. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
This is Carrie Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling, here to talk to you about kitchen remodeling. Have you been considering a new kitchen? Well, consider this. We're experts when it comes to kitchens. Our straightforward design and remodel process will take the guesswork and stress out of the project for you. Our pricing is very competitive, comprehensive, and guaranteed. And our typical kitchen remodel time is only 15 days. Our kitchen remodels include beautiful custom cabinets, granite countertops, center islands, and more. And of course, we'll remove those walls that are no longer needed. Please call me today at 612-363-0493 for a free consultation about your new kitchen. Or go to our website, choosebecker.com. In the meantime, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. Is it a beautiful? Is it a marvelous? The God of the
universe, He became one. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, this last week I had a wonderful time over in the UK. Went over to London, had a few meetings in Soho at St. Patrick's. Very interesting parish. Soho is kind of the the heart of the city where, you know, all the nightlife around Piccadilly Circus goes on. And they have a beautiful church there called St. Patrick's. And what is so interesting about that parish is that that is where Archbishop Fulton Sheen went and spent a considerable amount of time. So it was just great to be in that church and be able to proclaim God's word in that church and do some teaching. Then went on to Dublin, and that was a great time in Dublin. There's something about that city that's very vibrant, and the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is going to be coming to Dublin in 2018. That's the next meeting, world meeting of families. It's going to be in Dublin, so it was nice to be there. Went on to Drogheda, and then went over to Belfast and spent the majority of time in Belfast meeting with local members of the church and fostering Bible studies and so forth. Just a great time. You know, one of the questions that a lot of people have today, particularly those who are really interested in the faith and interested in knowing God, is how do you hear God's voice in your life? I think if there's one thing that would be considered pure gold or so valuable, it would be to be able to hear his voice on a daily basis. If you're facing difficulties in your life, health issues or relationship issues, job issues or finance, whatever it might be, we oftentimes think, boy, it would be nice to talk to this expert or that expert and really get their opinion. Or a lot of people would say, boy, I just wish I had 10 minutes with Pope Francis or 10 minutes with the Archbishop Hebda, just to pick their brain and find out what they think about this particular topic. Well, the beautiful thing is that you do have access to God on a daily basis. And the one of the things about the Catholic Church that is so beautiful is that they teach these details. And one of the details is this, that you were created in such a way that you can talk to God. Yeah, you can talk to God. It's called prayer. But you can also hear God in your life. You can hear the Lord in your life speaking to you, leading you, directing you in a particular situation. But I think a lot of people kind of dismiss this, to be honest with you. They go about their faith and they learn about the faith. They learn about the sacraments. They learn about, you know, church teaching and everything. And they stock up on it. And it's great. But they never get around to that personal relationship with the Lord. And I've often called this, you know, the choice between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. And a fan of Jesus is someone that they love to learn, they love to accumulate knowledge, and they like the latest book and the latest CD and the latest conference and all that. But there's a difference between being a fan and being a follower. A follower is someone who is a disciplined follower, or in Hebrew we would say a talmid, somebody that has made an agreement, they have made a commitment to follow the great rabbi, which is Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can really get to know the voice of the Lord in your life, and I'm being totally straight with you today, the only way that you can really get to know the voice of the Lord, or the voice of anybody for that matter, is to spend a lot of time together. And I think that this is one of the reasons that so many people struggle with this issue of hearing the Lord's direction in their life, knowing what they should do. Go left, go right, go forward. You know, take up this opportunity. Don't take that opportunity. Speak to this person. Don't speak to that person. Whatever it might be, that direction from the Lord only comes as a result of a lot of time together. Jesus put it this way. He said, "My sheep know my voice." Well, how do they know his voice? Is it just a premonition? Is it just kind of this inner fuzzy feeling about something that they're attributing to the Lord? Or is there a way to really come to know the tone of his voice and his leading in your life? I would argue, yes, there is. There is a way to do that. You know, one of the stories in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that I really like a lot is it's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And Philip was going about his day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and encouraged him to do something. Now, when you read that in the Bible, or you read about Abraham, or you read about David, or you read about about the Apostle Paul, we hear that God spoke to them and God led them. But we don't think a lot about what that actually sounded like or how that played out in everyday living. We just assume that Peter and Paul and Philip and the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the other cast of characters in the Bible, we just assume that they had this inside track with God and they could hear something that, of course, we would never hear because we're modern people. You know, people from Nazareth, they hear from God. People from Bethlehem, they hear from God. But people from Eagan, people from Maple Grove, and people from Stillwater, I don't know about that. Well, I'd like you to turn that around and start to really accept this idea that God can lead you and he can direct you. Listen to this story here in Acts chapter 8. It's kind of interesting. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road, desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip," that's the part I want you to catch right there, is that the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." That's all it says. Verse 29. "The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot." Now, what do you suppose that sounded like? Do you think, if you're like a lot of people, and kind of what I used to think, you think that the room started to shake or the ground started to shake and lightning from the sky and a deep voice from heaven saying, "Philip, go over and join the chariot." And nobody else heard it, but Philip heard it. And then he obeyed and it was eventually written down in the Bible. Well, I don't think that's the way it happened. In fact, the Bible doesn't even allude to that there was this magnificent voice in the earth shaking. All it says is the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. What I would submit to you today is this, that those characters in the Bible, many of them who heard the voice of the Lord, may have heard that voice as a thought. Now think about it for a minute. How else is God supposed to lead you and guide you other than a thought? Is he supposed to, tap you on the back? Is he supposed to turn the lights on and off 3 or 4 times? 3 for Trinity? Is an airplane going to fly overhead and with a banner saying, "Jeff, listen up. Susan, listen up. Sarah, listen up. Bob, listen up." No, I would say that God speaks to us in that still, small voice. Now, I'm not recommending that people start hearing the voice of the Lord for every little detail in their life, but when it comes to the Lord calling you out to do something different, to do something that's in line with his service, loving someone, taking care of someone, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, talking to someone at a coffee shop, that oftentimes that happens with a still, small voice, a thought. Go talk to that guy over there in the corner at the restaurant. Go talk to him. And I have found that oftentimes when I found out that the Lord really was leading me, that it was simply a thought. I'll give you a couple of ideas here, because we don't want to complicate this and make it, so difficult. It was not too long ago that I was at home, and I was with my wife. We were sitting on the couch, and we were getting ready to watch the evening news. You know how you get into those patterns in your life? You watch the evening news. Maybe you made some popcorn earlier. You get something to drink, and you're sitting on the couch and you're going to watch the news. So I was going to watch the news that evening, and as I was about 5 minutes away from 10, I had this thought. That's all it was a thought. And the thought was, go pray. Go up to the church and go to adoration. And I thought about it, and I thought, I probably should one of these days go up there more. I should go up and pray. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to do that, I think, one of these days. And then about 2 or 3 minutes later, this thought came again. The room didn't shake. It wasn't a loud boom. It was just a thought. Go up and pray. And then it happened a third time before Don Shelby from CCO came on. And that caught my attention. The third time of thinking the thought, I thought, I really should go up and pray. And my wife looked at me and she said, "You look like you're thinking about something." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just keep thinking I should go up to the church and pray." And she said, "Well, why don't you do it?" And I said, "I don't want to. I want to watch the news. I want to have popcorn," whatever we were doing that night. And she said, "Well, if you think it's the Lord and or you're continually getting these thoughts, I would do it if I was you." So I said, all right, okay, I'll do it. All right. So I ended up going to the church. When I drove into the church parking lot, there were only two cars there. And I walked in the front door. And as I walked in the front door of the church, the deacon was talking to a young man, probably about 30 years old. He was talking to him. And right as I walked in the door, the deacon looked over at me and said to the guy, "Well, that's the guy I was just talking about. That's Jeff." Now, what had happened was this young man had wandered into the church asking questions. You know, he had kind of left the church, but he was asking questions about life and about, you know, the church and teachings and all of that. And this deacon was engaging him in a conversation. And then the deacon said, "Well, we've got this guy in our church that reminds me of you. In fact, he wrote a book, and he wrote a book about leaving the Catholic Church and then studying his way back into the Catholic Church. It's called My Life on the Rock." And then all of a sudden he turns and says, "Well, that's the guy right there." I walked into the church at the exact moment that the deacon was telling this guy about me and about returning to the Catholic Church. Now, you might say, "Well, that's a coincidence." You know what? My life is greater than just coincidences. My life is orchestrated by God. God has a plan of sheer goodness for our lives. I'm not a walking accident, and you're not a walking accident, and you're not a walking set of coincidences. I would call them God incidences. And that's where God lines up situations in your life according to his plan, and we can either cooperate with it or not cooperate with it. Well, the long and short of that night is that we ended up spending some time in prayer with this young man. He ended up going, to make a long story short, he ended up going over to Israel with me. He went over, I believe, to Turkey and Greece with me, went through the Catechetical Institute, and has just experienced a very fruitful life as an adult in the Catholic Church today. But the hinge point may have been sitting down on the couch and hearing those words or those thoughts go up to the church and pray. Now, there's a principle, I think, in the Bible that's important when it comes to hearing Jesus speak to us. And we find that principle in the story of Jesus walking on the water. When Jesus was walking on the water, the disciples were in the boat. And it was the evening, and they looked out, and they saw him walking on the water, and they started to scream, "Ah, it's a ghost." And Jesus looked at him and said, "No, you know, be encouraged, it's me." And I love what Peter said. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you on the water." In other words, if this is you speaking, ask me to get out of the boat. So imagine that, being in the middle of the night and you see you're in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden you see what you think is Jesus walking on the boat. Now, that Jesus walking on the boat could be a thought you have about starting a ministry. It could be that thought you have about giving money to a strategy for the poor, or starting a women's group in your church, or a men's group, or taking a mission trip to Haiti, or whatever. I mean, it could be a number of things. But that getting out of the boat, or come walk on water, as Jesus said, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come walking to you on the water." That could be you in any situation. But I love what Peter says there. He says, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you on the water." And what does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, it's just a story. Relax. You don't have to go overboard." No, he says to Peter, "Come, come." And Peter has that decision to make at that point. Is he going to put one leg up over the edge of the boat and put it down on the water, and then lift the other leg up down on the and put it down on the water. Is he going to do what Jesus told him, or what he thinks Jesus told him to do? Or is he going to just say, you know, that was a great experience, and I kind of think that the Lord spoke to me, but he'll never know. You know what? I would venture to say that there have been times in your life where God has given you direction to love, to give of yourself, to be a part of a ministry or whatever it might be, to start something in your parish, and we chalked it up to we had pizza the night before. Maybe it was a dream or just a thought. We said, wow, that's probably just me. The only way that you're going to really know is to get out of the boat. Get out of the boat and walk on water. That day when the disciples were in the boat, there's only one guy that really knew deep down in his heart that that was Jesus walking on the water, and that was Peter, because Peter got out of the boat. When we study the faith, the Bible, the catechism, teachings of the church fathers, when God reveals himself to us with divine revelation, the response that we have is faith. It is the obedience of faith. And if you believe that God is speaking to you in a directional way in your life, then you have to test that. And there's a number of ways that you can test that. Number one is, does it match up with Scripture? Is it something that doesn't contradict Scripture? Is it something that does not contradict the tradition that we have been taught? Is it something that you could see Jesus doing in your life? And I think that many times God gives us those little directions that lead to something greater. I like what the Catechism says in paragraph 142 and 143. It says, by his revelation, the invisible God, from the fullness of his love, addresses men as his friends and moves among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company. He goes on and says, by faith, man completely submits his intellect and his will to God. With his whole being, man gives his assent to God the Revealer. Sacred Scripture calls this human response to God, the author of Revelation, the obedience of faith. So if you believe that God is giving you some direction in your life, then it requires an obedience on our part. And that might be a little bit scary to you, but I'll tell you what, on a day-to-day basis, this is what is exciting about following the Lord. I'll give you another example. I was shooting a video series not too long ago in the book of Galatians, and I was in Philadelphia. And I was done the first day with about four programs. The next day, I had to get up, go to breakfast, and then I was going to go on to the studio or to the church to shoot the rest of the study. My friends were driving me around in Philadelphia. We went to breakfast at a coffee shop, and I'm standing up at the counter ready to pay for my coffee and to pay for them. I think it was eggs and bacon or something like that. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, to my right, comes about five guys walking toward me in the coffee shop with great big honking Bibles. Honking is Greek for big. Kidding, don't write that down. But they're walking toward me with these great big Bibles. And I thought, this is an opportunity. You got to take the opportunities when you can, you know? So I took a step out in front of them and I looked at them and said, hey, it looks like you're studying the Bible. And they said, oh yeah, praise God, we love studying the Bible. And one of them said, he said, do you like studying the Bible? And I said, oh yeah, I like studying the Bible. And then I said, okay, have a great day. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. See ya. So I ended up paying for my eggs and the coffee and everything. And then I started walking over to the table where I was going to sit down with my friend. And I looked over to the right and I saw one of the guys was still in the coffee shop. He was putting cream in a coffee to go. And I had a thought. Here it is. Now, don't try this on your own. I'm a trained professional. I had a thought. And the thought was, go talk to that guy. That's it. That is it. That's all I thought. Go talk to him. I did not have a message. I did not have a script. I didn't have any clue what I was going to talk to him about. All I had was the thought, go talk to him. So I looked at my friends and I said, excuse me just for a second. I just feel like the Lord wants me to go talk to that guy for a second. Now you might say, boy, that's gutsy. You know what though? Not really. I mean, if God can speak to us and we can hear him, it's just a matter of obedience. So I got up, walked over to the guy. He's standing there with his big Bible and his coffee. And all I asked him was this. I said, what's your name? He told me his name. I told him my name. And I said, I got to ask you, what happened in your life that got you so excited about God and the Bible? That's it. Now, he's the one carrying the Bible. And that opened the door wide for me. But it was a thought, just talked to him, that moved me across the room. And I said, what happened in your life that got you so excited about God and studying the Bible? And he said, oh, praise God. And he's looking at it as God brought me to him. So he's talking and he's going on and on and telling me about studying the Bible. And then he says that it was a number of years ago that he was in college. He was in college and he said he was depressed and he wasn't feeling that good. And one day a priest came up to his dorm and started talking to a bunch of guys. And they ended up praying with this guy, the priest did, and praying with others, that they would come to really know God and have that personal experience with God. And he told me, he said, that's what changed my whole life. He said, from that day on, I started studying the Bible. And he said, now, I used to be Catholic, but I got born again. So I knew God had me in this conversation for a reason. And he said, yeah, I used to be Catholic, but I got born again. And this happened in this college. So I asked him a question. I said, what college was that? He said, well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what college it was. He said it was a little Catholic college out in Ohio, Steubenville, Franciscan University. And I said, really? I said, I used to teach there. He said, you did? What did you teach? I said, I taught Bible. He said, you did? Are you Catholic? And I said, I am. I said, but I left the Catholic Church and became a Protestant pastor for 12 years and then studied my way back into the Catholic Church. He said, okay, you got my attention now. Let's talk. And I said, well, what priest prayed with you? And for those of you that know Steubenville, you probably know what I'm going to tell you. It was Father Michael Scanlon, the president of the university. And I said, well, yeah, we need to talk. And that started a relationship with this guy where we traded emails and were able to establish a relationship. But I share that with you. I share that with you just to illustrate that it happened because of one thought. One thought. That's it. And I am convinced that throughout the day, the Lord is leading and guiding us in so many different ways that our life could be filled every day with this adventure of listening to what the Lord is trying to do in our life. Let me give you real quickly, and I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again, a little tool that you can use to get to know the voice of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, how do you get to know the voice of anybody? If you're married, how do you get to know the voice of your husband? How do you get to know the voice of your wife? How do you get to know the voice of your children? The only answer is to spend massive amounts of time together. Now, you could put me in a room and you could blindfold me with 1,000 women in the room, 1,000 women, and blindfold me. And one by one, bring the women in front of me and all they'll say is, good morning, honey. And my task is to pick my wife out of those 1,000 women. So they start off and they bring the first woman in front of me and they've got me thoroughly blindfolded. And she says, good morning, honey. I said, nope. The next one, good morning, honey. Nope. The next one, good morning, honey. Nope. Number 110, nope. 236, nope. 342, nope. 483, nope. 510, nope. 687, nope. 734, nope. 821, yep, that's her. That's her. And I take off the cover of my eyes, and sure enough, it's her. Now, you would think, how did you do that? Well, you know what? That was easy. That was so easy. Why? I know the voice of my wife. How do I know it so well? I know it because I have spent a lot of time with her. I know her voice when she's happy. I know her voice when she's sad. I know her voice when she's mad. I know her voice when she is crying. I know her voice when she's laughing. I know her voice early in the morning. I know her voice late at night. I know her voice when I haven't done what she wanted me to do. I didn't do what she wanted me to do. I know her voice in every situation. And that's the same with the Lord. If you spend massive amounts of time with the Lord, reading His Word, getting to know His tone, what He asks people to do, what He does and what He doesn't do, then you can come to know His voice. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is what makes the walk so exciting. Now, one of the tools that I would recommend to you on a daily basis is a tool called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is a four-step process that will acquaint you with the voice of Jesus. And here's what you do. You get a Bible, you get a place, and you get a schedule. You get a notebook, and you get a pen. And what you want to do is you want to, first of all, get a Bible that you can read regularly and you can write in, underline your favorite verses, write in the margins, any little points that will help you to remember that verse. And then you're going to take a small bit of scripture, and on a daily basis, you're going to go to a place. And I recommend that you have a regular place. It might be the coffee table at home. It might be at Caribou or Starbucks. It might be at a break time at work. It might be in your bedroom, wherever it is, your back porch in the summer. And you read that little bit of scripture with four steps, and you're going to record your findings in your little notebook. Now, I have a Moleskine notebook. You can get those at Barnes & Noble or any other store, but it's a nice small notebook that allows me to write down my findings in my daily time with the Lord. The first step in Lectio Divina to get to know the voice of the Lord is, number one, Lectio. That means reading. Lectio Divina means divine reading. But Lectio, you read that passage slowly, and what you're looking for is you're looking for words or phrases that pop out at you. They pop out at you. So, for example, if I was reading the Lord or the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I continue to read it. Typically, there's going to be one word or a phrase that literally comes up off the page and screams at you, I'm for you today. And for some reason, you're attracted to that word. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, causes me to lie down in green pastures. It could be a word, it could be a phrase, but once you get that after reading through twice, slowly, purposefully, don't go deep, you're not interpreting at this point, you're not asking questions, you're just listening to what God might have to say to you. So if I read that today and He makes me lie down in green pastures were to pop up, I'll write that in my notebook. Then I'll move on to the second step of Lectio Divina. The first step was reading. Just finding out what's for me today. The second is meditatio, fancy word for meditation. Meditation. Meditation, in the biblical sense, is different than the East. In the East, they empty their minds, and the goal is really to become nothing in many, aspects of Eastern meditation. That isn't biblical meditation at all. Biblical meditation is actually filling your mind, but it's filling your mind with God's thoughts for you. So meditation is entering the story, entering the script. It is like entering that Psalm 23 and seeing the Lord is my shepherd, and He's leading me, and He's causing me to lie down in green pastures. So I actually, in a sensory way, enter that story. How do I fit into the story? How do I fit into there? What is God doing with me in that Psalm 23 story? That beautiful, beautiful psalm. So meditation, and by the way, you can Google this. I'm not going to go into it in any depth right now, but I want to give you the steps. A real good book, by the way, is Dr. Tim Gray, and it's called Praying Scripture for a Change. where he talks about the steps of Lectio Divina. So first, Lectio we read. Number two is meditation. Number three is oratio, which is prayer. Now you begin to talk to the Lord about what you're reading. How does it relate to you? What are the green pastures in your life? What are the opportunities that he's given you for rest? So you begin to talk to him and try to listen to what he's saying to you in that text. And you write this down. And then finally, contemplatio, which is contemplation. It's not something that we do as much as a place that we arrive. It's like two people who love each other sitting on a bench at Lake Harriet, holding hands, staring at the water, not saying anything. They've already taken a walk around the lake, and they've been talking, and now they're just enjoying each other's presence. And so those are four easy steps in Lectio Divina. But you really got to do this for, 30 days, 40 days to develop a habit. But if you do, and you spend time in adoration, prayer, and you read scripture, and you listen for his voice, you will stand a better chance of knowing his voice in the thoughts you have throughout the week. So I encourage you to do that. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking with Karen Sullivan in just a few minutes, and she's got a new book called Bitter or Better, Grappling with Life on the Op-Ed Page. Maybe you recognize her name. She's been writing for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and we're going to join her right after this break. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Oh my gosh, look at this family room. It is incredible. Who did the work?
I was listening to Relevant Radio and heard an ad for Becker Building and Remodeling, and they did the job, and we love it.
Didn't you tell me you bought your car after hearing an ad on Relevant Radio?
I did. I listen all the time.
Hey, great party, great grill. Man, you must have paid a lot here.
Nope, heard about it on Relevant Radio, bought it yesterday.
And this backyard living space. Wow, let me guess.
That's right, Relevant Radio. I heard about American Landscape and they made it happen.
Does your business have the sound? If it does, people are coming in and buying your products and telling others about you. Branding, building awareness, and driving traffic. Let the professionally trained Relevant Radio marketing consultants help you give your business the sound. Send an email to businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. Businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. We'll take it from there. Sound good?
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Day after Thanksgiving, or if you're listening to the rebroadcast a couple days after Thanksgiving, I hope you had a great time with your family. I really, really do. And if you are experiencing a tough Thanksgiving this year, maybe you lost a loved one this last year, or some difficulties have taken place and you're finding it a little bit difficult to be thankful, I want to encourage you today that we're praying for you and we'll pray for you and to reach out and reach out to members of your parish and don't stop reconnecting with people. We have the chance in the difficulties of our life to be better, or, I got to be honest with you, sometimes I become more bitter. Joining us is Karen Sullivan. She is an award-winning author, contributing writer to the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and she's written the book called Bitter or Better, Grappling with Life on the Op-Ed Page. And you'll have a chance to visit with her as she's going to be at Leaflet Missile coming up, and also Barnes & Noble will give you dates on that. But Karen, welcome to the Rediscover.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here.
It is good to have you, and I love the look of your book, Bitter or Better, Grappling with Life on the Op-Ed Page. This came about as a result of a lot of opportunities to become bitter recently in your life. Tell us, before we get into that, though, tell us a little bit about what you do in your writing career. You are an award-winning writer with the St. Paul Pioneer Press. How long have you been writing there?
I started writing for the Pioneer Press totally on a lark in the summer of 2007. I have a journalism degree, but hadn't used it because I'd gone to law school and then practiced law until 1993, at which time my son was diagnosed with autism. So I made a rather abrupt departure from the professional world and became immersed in dealing with his autism, learning about it, advocating for him. And then as time went on, my family had additional challenges, so I shifted gears and advocated in different ways. And along the way, developed a lot of content for both columns and Bitter or Better.
You mentioned you encountered some difficulties, some problems along the way. They're not small. I mean, these were one after another, some major, major issues that you were confronting in your life. Tell us about a few of those that took place before you actually wrote the book.
Okay. In the late 90s, my husband, who was 43 at the time, experienced a heart attack. And over the years that followed, he had a number of issues with his heart and ended up with 7 stents and then died suddenly. It'll be 6 years ago this December of a heart attack. Before he died, I had undergone treatment for breast cancer when I was about the same age as he was when he had his first heart attack. And was recovering from that when our daughter, who was 10 at the time, started really slowing down and complaining of headaches. And after a pretty aggressive search for answers over the course of about 6 months, we learned in early 2005 that she had a very rare blood disorder and that it was only curable by a bone marrow transplant. So a few months later, both my kids went to the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital, and my son, who has autism, who was 13 at the time, donated his bone marrow and saved her life.
Hmm. So it sounds like something happened to almost everybody in your family at one time or another. As you were going through this, what types of notes did you start taking? Because I know you ended up writing the book, and the book is been out since when, June?
Mm-hmm.
In June. So did you keep a diary? Did you start keeping mental notes about everything that was happening in your life?
More mental notes of everything that was happening. But when my daughter was going through the bone marrow transplant process, I became a very regular writer on her Caring Bridge page. And that really was the beginning of my process of finding connection and healing through writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still have that. I printed out her entire Caring Bridge page, but that was a pretty remarkable experience in that people from all over, many whom I never met, would offer prayers to her on her Caring Bridge page. We had family around the country and even in Australia, and they could weigh in and send prayers and jokes and just uplifting comments. And it helped the whole family, but I think more than anything, it helped me.
Mm. Well, I like the title, Bitter or Better. And I think, you know, we were talking about at the top of the show that Pope John Paul II had mentioned that in suffering, more than anything else, we do have an opportunity, and it can make us better or bitter. What have you found out in your writing and your experience? What puts you over the edge as far as it becoming, your circumstances becoming bitter? We'll cover that one first. What can lead someone to become bitter as a result of their circumstances?
Well, I think you can become bitter if you feel like a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised by a mother who really instilled in my siblings and I the notion that, life's not fair and no one likes a victim. And I was able to really, follow those points much through my life. But when my husband died, it was like, okay, enough already,
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, with everything else that happened, it's one thing to go through your own suffering or your own challenges, but the hardest thing about losing him was that my kids lost their father.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I was experiencing that as a wife and as a mother.
It's like a double load you're carrying.
Right. And that was really the hardest thing to see, you know, the pain that my children experienced. And it remains so. You know, there's just a big void there, an empty seat. And my heart really breaks for my kids as much for myself. So I think that at that point, after everything else that happened, it's like, okay, that could be the knockout blow. But I'm a fairly tenacious person, and I was just determined that that wasn't going to be the direction that I went in.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the key is to turning it around and becoming better?
For me, I talk about sort of four pillars in the book: attitude, gratitude, action, and words. And starting at the end, the words have been through my writing, through my columns. Twice a month I write for the opinion page on the Pioneer Press as a contributing columnist, and I always choose my topics, and I like to write about either people navigating challenges in life or people stepping forward and doing really good things in life. And I do a lot of speaking as well on the same topics. Action, being a volunteer, helping other people, doing something bigger than yourself, mm-hmm. has been really important. I've gone on two medical mission trips with Starkey Hearing Foundation and Smile Network, mm-hmm. and it's a great way to really affirm that everything in life is relative, and you may think you have it really badly, but when you go into a hospital in Peru, as I did with Smile Network, and the paint's peeling off the ceiling, and there's no toilet paper in the bathroom and no soap, all of a sudden you realize that maybe you don't have it so bad after all.
Right. Well, I love that the second pillar that you're using, gratitude. And gratitude is so important in changing your situation, your attitude of gratitude, having a thankful heart. And the thing I've noticed from a biblical perspective is that when you become a person filled with gratitude and you're thankful for all these small things that you have in your life, it really changes your perspective, because as you thank God for these things in your life, it connects you to the gift giver, to God himself. But it also changes your whole perspective. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But your attitude begins to change. And people who are filled with gratitude are some of the most beautiful people to be around. You know, if you don't have gratitude, people don't like to hang around with you, you know, a whole lot. But having an attitude of gratitude forces you to look for the treasures and look for the pearls, you know, in the midst of all of the difficulties of your life. Have you found that?
Absolutely. And I feel like every day I'm filled with gratitude because I had a lot of friends who helped me over the years with the different things that we dealt with, whether it was bringing meals or walking my dog or washing my car for the funeral. I have a chapter in the book called Toilet Paper, Flowers, and Hugs. Mm. I was out of state when my husband died, and when I came home, that's what I returned to. You know, a cousin had brought toilet paper because she felt so hopeless and wanted to do something. And of course, you don't want to plan a funeral and not have enough toilet paper when you've got lots of people visiting your home. So I kind of joke about that. But there are so many ways that you can help someone who is going through a tough situation. And I'm grateful for every single person who was there and continues to be there for me.
Now, you wrote a book and it was published. But a lot of people are probably thinking, well, I'm not going to write a book that's going to be published, but they still can write, can't they?
Absolutely.
And you can journal and keep track of these blessings in your life and work through them.
I think that's really key. And a lot of people write a book and it's, you know, it doesn't go anywhere, but I think journaling is a really key way just to get those thoughts out, especially the negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, you're going to be making some appearances locally here,
yes,
in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
On Saturday morning, I will be at the Leaflet Missal from 11 to 12:30, signing books there. And on Sunday, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble Roseville from 2 until 4 p.m.
That's great. And I recommend people get in touch with your book, and you can get it online. You can get it probably at all the bookstores, mm-hmm. locally. Bitter or Better, Grappling with Life on the op-ed page. That's good. Karen Sullivan, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
On the Rediscover Hour. And my friend, if you are struggling with what's being thrown at you at life right now, I just want to remind you that it is in Jesus Christ that you will find that change where he transforms our life in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. Well, we are coming to the tail end of Thanksgiving now, and you're still stuffed a little bit. And I do pray that going forward the rest of the year that you will be better and not bitter, and allow the circumstances of life to draw you closer to God and not push away from God. When difficulties happen, we oftentimes will blame, or we will run, or we will self-medicate. There's a lot of things that we'll do when things look difficult in our lives. But I want to encourage you today, take some time and thank God for all the blessings in your life and run to him. Spend some time over the next week, just you and the Lord alone. Go to adoration, go to Mass, and get to know the voice of the Lord. That's the direction that you need in your life, is the voice of Jesus. A lot of things this time of the year are taking place in the Twin Cities, and we're going to talk about those when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
What do you see coming in the days ahead? Because these threats to religious freedom are not going away. I think they're going to intensify. What can we as faithful do, and what are we called to do?
Well, I think one big thing is we've got a champion in Pope Francis.
Bishop William Callahan.
Pope Francis is out there doing exactly what has been set up for him by Pope St. John Paul the Great, Pope Benedict, the very things that they talked about in practice and in theory. Now he is out there doing, and people are taking note. So I think the pastoral, direct approach of Jesus Christ involved with the lives of everybody. When Francis goes and speaks to the poor, all of a sudden the doors are open. We must look to that to be able to say, yes, the church is directly involved with humanity. Yes, the church is directly involved with the poor. Yes, the church is directly involved with people who need us.
This is Relevant Radio.
Come along, I'll walk you through the world. And we will sing a different song.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, joined by Paul Sadek. And Paul, a lot of people aren't going to go to Tanzania, East Africa, but there's ways to...
You can support Catholic ministries in Tanzania, in East Africa, and join Partners for Hope at the second annual Mission Possible Luncheon. Proceeds will benefit microloans for women and tuition for students. Luncheon will be Wednesday, December 2nd, noon to 2 p.m. at the Lake Elmo Event Center. For more information, call Molly Druffner, 651-208-6526.
The Church of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maplewood invites all men to Men's Night Out on Friday, December 4th. You can come join us for an evening of fraternity, prayer, and growth in virtue. The evening begins with Mass at 5:30 p.m., followed by dinner, a presentation on the Catholic Watchman by me, and Matthew James Christoph, and an hour of adoration. RSVP by December 1st, online at www.presentationofmary.org, or call the parish office at 651-777-8116.
A Spotlight Family Theater production brings A Christmas Carol to Holy Family Academy in St. Louis Park. This production, which is adapted from the classic story by Charles Dickens, will be presented by the high school students of Holy Family Home Educators. All shows begin at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, December 11th and 12th and 18th and 19th. Free will offering accepted. Seating is general admission. For more information, visit hftheater.wix.com/A Christmas Carol.
St. Jude of the Lake in Mata Mede invites you to a Divine Mercy retreat on Friday, December 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, December 12th from 9 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. With the Jubilee Year of Mercy on our doorstep, an extraordinary opportunity lies ahead. Come learn intriguing little-known facts in history surrounding these revelations given to St. Faustina in Poland in the 1930s. The retreat will be led by Dave and Joan Maroney, founders of and director of Mother of Mercy Messengers. To find out more, you can call the parish office at 651-426-3245.
The Office of Vocations invites men between the ages of 18 and 50 to a discernment retreat December 18th through the 20th at Christ the King Retreat Center with Retreat Master Bishop Andrew Cousins. Do you know someone discerning whether God may be calling them to the priesthood? Spread the word. Register with the Office of Vocations, 651-962-6890, or email stpaulpriest@1000vocations.org.
Do you know someone who was raised Catholic but now feels separated from the church and seldom goes to Mass? Help bring them back home to the Catholic Church, no matter how long they have been away, and no matter the reason. We invite them to consider renewing their relationship with the Church. Please invite them to join us for our six-week guided listening and basic catechesis sessions at St. Bartholomew in Wyzetta starting Tuesday, January 5th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, you can call Andrew Allen at 952-473-6601, extension 203.
And we're getting ready for the Year of Mercy next week.
We are. We're going to be talking about mercy, an opportunity to receive the mercy of God in every area of your life, and also an opportunity to extend the mercy to others. It all begins December 8th, from Rome to your home. See you next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.